Now we're going to turn to the Word of God. First of all, I want you to turn to one verse in 2 Samuel chapter 3. 2 Samuel chapter 3, and then when you've found that, turn over to Romans chapter 7 and keep your finger in both of these areas at the moment. 2 Samuel chapter 3 and verse number 1. Now there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. And David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker. Then turning over to the book of Romans in chapter 7, and we will break in at verse number 18, where Paul is ministering, talking about the law. And he says in verse 18 of Romans 7, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good, I find not. For the good that I would, I do not, but the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man, but I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin." And may the Lord bless to our hearts this reading from His own infallible and inspired Word. Let's just bow for a moment's prayer. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee tonight that we're found in the house of the Lord. And we bless Thee, O God, for these great hymns of the church that we have been singing together. And we rejoice, O God, they're not just a vain expression of somebody's mind, but they are hymns that are written in the fires of adversity. And we thank Thee, O God, that through the Lord Jesus, He helps us to conquer and to keep on conquering. And so, our Father, we praise Thee for the fact that we're met tonight in the house of the Lord, and we do have the assured presence of the Lord Himself. We ask Thee, our Father, as Thou would look upon the congregation, Thou dost know every individual heart. Thou dost know those who are fighting a battle at this present time. We ask Thee, O God, that Thou would encourage them, and grant, O God, that each one of us may walk in the train of a triumph of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Father, we pray, should there be any here today who know not the Lord, O God, we pray that Thou would speak to them and save them by Thy grace. We ask, O Lord, now to speak to us by the power of the Holy Spirit, for we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. I need hardly remind you that all of us as Christians are engaged in a serious spiritual conflict, and you'll find that Paul often uses the language of war. He said of himself, "I have fought a good fight." Then he tells us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and so on. And to young Timothy, he encouraged him to war a good warfare. So it is a battle to stand up for God and to stand up for truth. And all of us are familiar with our battle against the world and the devil. The forces of immorality are increasing, and the anti-Christian influences in the world are growing day by day. And hence we are called to fight the good fight of faith. And that fight is not often easy. It is difficult. And very often the devil in the battle, he draws our blood and causes us great grief. But so great a Christian as the Apostle Paul speaks of another battle, it's not the battle against the external enemy. It is the battle of our own hearts and our own souls. And you've read here how this great man of God says, "The good that I would, I do not, But the evil which I would not, that I do. And then he cries out in almost desperation, O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? And every zealous Christian has stood in the place where Paul stands in this chapter. And the more we desire to go on for the Lord and to be close to Him, as we saw this morning, the request to abide with the Lord and have the Lord abide with us, the more we go on in that battle, the more we realize just how wretched we are as individuals. So we've been there, and I want tonight to speak about that very real Christian conflict. And I want to use the verse that we read, first of all, from 1 Samuel as an illustration of this battle that we fight against ourselves. Now, first of all, let's just to concern ourselves with the combatants in this battle. Because in the book of 1 Samuel, 2 Samuel, you find there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. Now, the house of Saul comes to us as the house of the flesh. And it is a house that reminds us, and it is a picture of you and me in our unsaved days when the flesh had complete rule and was reigning in our lives. Now, Saul was the fleshly choice of the people. They wanted a king, and they rebelled against Samuel, the Lord's prophet, and not only against Samuel, but in fact they were reigning and they were rebelling against God Himself, and they were virtually saying that we will not have this man or this God to reign over us. And so the people of Israel, they would not be turned back from their desperate course. They wanted to have this particular king. And how often it is in our lives that even though we face the difficulties, nothing, it seems, will stop us from our headlong departure away from God and down into the caverns of wickedness. And so this is a real battle. And Saul was man's fleshly choice. And in our case, as believers, we have rebelled against the Lord at times, and at times we have kicked against the traces of the Lord in our lives. We want to go our way. We don't want to go God's way. We want to do things the way we want to do them ourselves in our selfish and egotistical endeavors. Now, the appearance of Saul in the camp of Israel was such that the Bible tells us in 1 Samuel 9 and 3 that he was a man that was head and shoulders above the rest of the people. And so they looked upon him. They looked upon him with a great delight because they wanted a king. And here they have this magnificent man to be the king over the land of Israel. In fact, what they were doing, they were choosing not God's way, because God had a theocracy where he governed them through his prophets and so on. But they wanted to be like the other nations. And how often in our day that we look at what the devil has to offer, and the devil, he wants to offer us something that's attractive to the eyes and something that will get our attention and that we will bow down to and admit to. And sometimes even the believer will come to a place where he's thinking, well, the devil's way actually is better. So the fleshly man is the man that the devil would raise up in our own lives. And then his anointing. If you notice that he was anointed, Saul was anointed by Samuel. But notice carefully that when he was anointed with a vial of oil. And the vial, of course, is a man-made vessel, a man-made instrument. And so they took this here and they anointed him to be the king of all Israel. And in our case, you'll find that we are very often quite happy to have the anointing of the world upon us and the anointing of that which people make and do, rather than to have the divine anointing of the Holy Spirit of God. And then, of course, the fleshly man, Saul, He was a disobedient man because Samuel gave him certain very clear instructions regarding meeting him and regarding having a sacrifice. And Saul, he disobeyed. He couldn't wait. And so he erected an altar and he made a sacrifice himself, which he had no right to do. That was the right of Samuel. And so he was a disobedient man. He was impetuous and he was foolish and he would do it his way. And how many times in our lives have we found the same thing, that we become impetuous, we become foolish, and we want to do things our way rather than the way the Lord has mapped out for us and His way is perfect. Saul also, that he rejected God's word because the Lord told him with regard to the Amalekites and another clear instruction to slay them. Saul didn't do that. He kept Agag the king, and he kept the sheep, and he kept other things that the Lord told him not to do. And he disobeyed the Lord. He rejected the word of God. And when we allow the flesh to rise up, what happens is no longer are we governed by what God says. And in fact, in certain places and areas, you find that the Bible is set aside even in the assemblies of those who know the Lord. We had occasion to go to a Christian school in Victoria when we were there, school of 1,000 people. And they had a pastor's day, and there was an invitation to the pastors of the children who went to school to come along. And that was a good idea in itself. But the thing that got me, it was an assembly, and the assembly wasn't open by prayer, and there was no Bible reading at all, and no Bible teaching at all. When I say at all, I mean at all. There was none at all, none whatsoever. And you see, the flesh is that which would rise up and try to put the Bible aside, so we would then govern without the strictures of the Word of God, and govern ourselves. And so Saul, he was a man who rejected God's Word. And then because he did that, then he had murderous thoughts in his heart. You'll read seven times did he have murderous thoughts with regard to David. And ever the flesh wants to kill the spirit and the spiritual. And you'll find, as we heard this morning, that Cain rose up. Cain the fleshly rose up and slew Abel the spiritual. Again, you'll find that Esau the fleshly would rise up and try and destroy the Jacob. And you'll find the devil the fleshly, he would rise up and try and destroy the Lord Jesus Christ. And so, in the case of Saul, he degenerated until finally he went and he consulted with a witch. Instead of consulting with the Lord, instead of coming to God's word and coming to God's prophet, he went to a witch, and so he died in infamy and he died in a most strange manner. So when you look at Saul and the house of Saul, you're looking at a picture of our fleshly nature, especially before we came to know the Lord Jesus Christ. But then in 2 Samuel 3:1, it tells us, now there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. So now the second combatant in this battle is the house of David. And this here is the house of faith. Because David, here King David, he was God's choice. We're told that he was beloved of the Lord. And when it came to the anointing of David to be king over Israel, it wasn't a vial of oil that Samuel used. It was a horn of oil. And the horn, of course, it came from an animal that was made by Almighty God. So David had the anointing of God. It was a God-made instrument that was used in his anointing as the king. David also was a man of faith because in his young days he met a bear and by the power of God was able to defeat that bear. But then on another occasion he met a lion and was able as a young man by the grace and the strength of God to defeat the lion. And of course, that was all preparation because there's a bigger battle coming for David in the days to come. And David didn't worry too much about the lion and the bear because faith laughs at the impossibilities. So when we come to Lord Jesus Christ, we then have a house of faith. And that is because God chose His people unto salvation. And we are faced with challenges, but we know that God laughs at things that are thought impossible. And He speaks and it shall be done. David was a man of courage because Goliath, he appeared on the scene. A giant of a man, about 9 foot tall, according to instructions given in the Bible. And young David faced Goliath when every other person in the nation of Israel shrank back and were afraid of him. But faith laughs at things thought impossible, and David was a man of courage. And so within us is the spiritual man, the man of faith, chosen by God, given strength and given courage beyond what they would have themselves. Because left to us, we would cringe away from the battle, but with the power of the Lord, we can go forward and we can face it. And then David was a man of love because you can read the story of how his soul was knit together with the soul of Jonathan, the son of Saul. And you can notice also how forgiving David was because there were occasions when Saul wanted to kill him and hunted him like a partridge upon the mountains of Judea, but David forgave him. And there were occasions when David could have taken his life, when his men come in, and right there beside sleeping Saul, and he could have killed him, and the men wanted him to kill them, but the man of faith, he forgave him at that time, and said, "I will not touch the Lord's anointed." And you read of David in 1 Samuel 13 and 14 that he was a man after God's own heart. So you've got two pictures here. The house of Saul, the picture of our fleshly man. And the house of David, which is a picture of the spiritual man, the man of faith, is saved by grace. And the Bible speaks elsewhere of the old man, which is the fleshly man, and the new man, which is the man of faith. Now we go on to look at the conflict because it says there in 2 Samuel 3, "Now there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David." So it was a lengthy conflict, and in the case of Saul, the fleshly king, he wanted desperately to hold on to the throne and was willing to do whatever was necessary to make sure David never came to the throne. So he was the fleshly king who wanted to hold on to the throne. David, on the other hand, was the Lord's anointed, and he was anointed by God to replace Saul. And David had the desire to ascend to the rightful place that God had mapped out for him. And so now you have a war situation. The two houses battling one against the other. They're not battling against the Philistines now. There were battles with the Philistines at other times. But right now you have what amounts to a civil war, an internal war. And Israel was weakened because of that battle that was going on. And my friend, that is very similar to the internal war that goes on in the breast of the believer. And that's what Paul is writing about here in Romans chapter 7 and in verse 22. He says, "I delight in the law of God after the inward man." My new man, the man of faith, wants to follow after God, and I delight to do the will of the Lord. But then he goes on to say, but in verse 23, "I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into the captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." So now he's talking about the second house that is battling. It is the the law of sin. And so the old fleshly man is in battle against the new spiritual man. And so Paul is talking about this, and he says, the result is that the good that I would, I do not. And the evil that I would not, that I do. So this battle's going on, and Paul would like to have done some things good, and he discovered I'm not doing them, and all the things he didn't want to do, he's doing them because of this battle between the flesh and the spirit. So it's going on, and so he cries out there in verse 24, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And what serious believer has never faced that battle and cried out like Paul? Because the more you desire to walk with the Lord, the more this battle comes into play, and the more you'll see it, and you'll cry out, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And so at that time, Israel was wretched because of a civil war. And we are wretched when we cry out in agony of soul, "Who shall deliver me from the body of this death?" And the answer is, there's no final peace until the house of Saul is totally defeated and the house of David is in control and David is reigning. And David, of course, is a wonderful picture of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so therefore, we do not get complete victory while the flesh is on the ascendancy. But someday, thank God, we will have the final victory, because the house of Saul, the house of the flesh, will be completely, forever, eternally put down. And we shall go forward in the train of the triumph, conquering and to conquer. Now the conclusion here is that you read that there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David, but David waxed stronger and stronger, and the house of Saul waxed weaker and weaker, until finally Saul was totally defeated and David was left unquestioned king of the whole of the nation of Israel. So Saul decreased. He started off as king. He disobeyed the Lord. His mind was disturbed. His kingdom slipped, and finally he died in shame. In the case of David, he started off as shepherd boy, was forced into the cave of Adullam, where some people came to him, and he formed a little army out of them, went out and fought the battles that needed to be fought, and finally David took the throne and began to reign in all Israel. And likewise in our case, this long war goes on, and we fight this battle, and it will finally be won when the house of Saul, the fleshly man, the old man, is put down, and Jesus Christ, as the greater David, reigns unabated and uncontested in our hearts and in our souls. But, friends, that tells us, be prepared for a long war. It says there was long war between the house of Saul and the house of David. So we have to be prepared for a long war. And that long war lasts from the moment we kneeled at the cross of the Lord Jesus and were saved by the grace of God, until the moment we ascend into heaven again by the grace of God and receive the crown of glory that fadeth not away. So here on earth, we will have a battle to fight, and at times we will find the going very, very difficult. Now, David overcame not by his own power, but by God's power. And Paul overcame not by his own power, but by God's power. And he said there in verse 24, "O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of his death?" Crying out in desperation. Then he remembers. Then he says, "I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord, because the victory for the believer is found in the Lord Jesus Christ." And so there are times when the believer will pass through the valley, through the place where you have the children of Israel fighting there, the Amalekites, and they're down the valley. And there are times when we will fight that battle. But there'll also be the mountaintops. And always remember, somebody said, it takes two mountains to make a valley. And so you go through one valley, but neither side you have two mountains. And friends, we need to have a strong desire in our hearts that we will walk very close to the Lord. You see, a careless Christian probably doesn't know very much about this battle, because the battle is not waging really, because the flesh is winning at the present time. But it's when you desire something more. It's when you desire to be the best you can be for the Lord. It's when you desire to walk close to our blessed Lord that you feel the frustration at times, "Oh Lord, I'm such a failure." But it's then that the Lord Jesus steps in, and it's then that He gives us the victory and the power. I was hoping in my retirement years to do a little bit of drawing or painting. I was at Milos for quite a while to start a class, but he never did. And maybe someday we'll get a class going to teach me how to paint. I can draw, because that was my job in earlier days. But to actually do a painting, like Milos's brother-in-law was here in our school, and he painted in half an hour, just using water paint splashed here. And up close, it doesn't look like anything. But you step back, and you see a wonderful picture of a street scene in Prague, in the Czech Republic. And I now have that in my study, and it's very precious. He did it in half an hour. And I look at that and I say, well, I could never, ever draw like that, no matter how much I try. And it wasn't because of detail, because he took half an hour in front of the kids in the school, the senior school, and he just splashed on this here. And the thing's just wonderful. Now, if I was to look at that and say, well, that unless I get something done like Milos's brother-in-law, Vlado, unless I can do something to get, I'm a total failure. But I'm not going to do that, because I realize that I will do what I can when I get the time. I'll do what I can to the best of my ability. It may not pass the art world. But then we were over in Vancouver Island, and Robert Bateman, he lives just in Salt Spring Island, that's next to Vancouver Island, and he's a wonderful painter of wildlife. And the art scene totally reject him, because he does stuff that is too real and too realistic. And if I looked at Bateman's stuff, and I tried to, my wife is very fond of little ducks that they had in Vancouver, Victoria Harbour, and there's dozens and dozens of them there. And I tried to draw one, but it was miserable. And so if I try to do that and I see somebody who can do it, I become depressed. But the Lord has called you and He's called me to walk with Him. And the Lord has called different people, different ways. My wife is reading the book that I found on Aaron's bookstore. And by the way, he has a tremendous library, and everything is all neat and cataloged and all the rest. But he had this book on the life of William Burns. William Burns. He was the man who filled in McShane's pulpit at the time of the revival in that church when McShane was in Israel and wasn't too well. Burns then came over here, and he ministered for 2 years from Quebec City down to Hamilton, ministering up and down there. And they got a gather of a bunch of people, and it was they who said it was their desire to form the Free Presbyterian Church of Canada. 130 years later before we were able actually to do that. But my wife was reading that, and I think she read the whole life story of him. And I told the congregation over there that if they paid me a certain amount, I wouldn't let this book go back to their minister. Because on one occasion, William Burns, he preached for 5 hours. On another occasion, for 3 hours, nonstop. And people today, they grieve if you go over half an hour. Here's a man who preached for 5 hours. But you look at his life, he went to be a missionary in China and spent the rest of his life there. And you look at that man, what he suffered, and the zeal that he had for God. As I said, that we look at ourselves and wonder, Lord, are we even Christians at all? When you look at the dedication of some of these eminent servants of God. But the thing is, I'm not called to answer to Burns ministry or to Spurgeon ministry or to Whitfield. I'm called to answer for my ministry. And you're called to answer for your ministry. And at times you'll fight the battle and you'll find the going tough and the battle strong. But we go forward conquering and to conquer, because ultimately we have the total and eternal victory when sin is forever dealt with. And so Paul's able to say, I thank my God through Jesus Christ. And if there's somebody here tonight and you know you've been through that battle, maybe going through it right now, and you wonder, how am I ever going to get out? Just bow the knee to the Lord and tell him. And as the little hymn says, just a little talk with Jesus. I'll put it right. Tell him, Lord, I'm fighting the battle. Lord, come to my aid and help me. And thank God he will. And you'll rejoice in him. Let's bow together in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we come before thee tonight in the precious name of the Lord Jesus. And we thank thee, O God, for every mountaintop thou hast caused thy people to tread over. O God, what a blessing to be in the mountaintop with the Lord. But our Father, we do know that there have been times when the flesh has risen up and given us great difficulty, and the battle has been hot. And yet, our Father, we thank thee that thou dost always give us the victory through Jesus and through his precious blood. O God, we pray that thou would bless thy children, and Lord, help us to attain to the very best walk we can have with thee, not because of our talents or our abilities, but because of the glory of the Lord Jesus. O God, make us, we pray, a people who do know their God, because thou hast told us those are the people that do exploits. Bless this congregation. Bless the minister. Bless the elders and the people. And Father, we pray that this church will be one that does great exploits in this area. Hear this, our prayer, and part us, Lord, now in thy fear and with thy blessing. Take us home rejoicing in the Lord and encouraged that Jesus does answer prayer, and he said, even in the battle, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.